I want you to think of someone you know that seemed to begin well in the Christian faith. I mean, they got a good start. But somewhere along the way, something happened. And either they completely abandoned the faith. They just walked away from everything that they said they believed. Or someone that maybe they didn't totally abandon the faith. They just took the wrong path somewhere. Their faith became somewhat mediocre. Their Christian life became somewhat mediocre. And at best, just kind of ended up living that kind of a Christian life without the fire and the zeal. And I want you to see that person's face in your mind's eye. And I want you to think of how they wound up. I want you to think of where they are today and what they're doing now. And then I want you to ask yourself this question. Do I want to be that person somewhere down the line in my life? Do I want to be where they are in their walk with the Lord? Do I want to walk away from the Lord? Do I want my faith, my passion for Christ to diminish? Do I want to lose my spiritual moorings and wander from a life of devotion to Christ? And the reality is that can happen to any of us. It can happen to me, it can happen to you. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 or 30 years from now, we can find ourselves a completely different person than we are today in terms of our walk with the Lord. So this morning, we're starting a new series in the book of 2 Timothy, and it's titled Finishing Well. And our first message is called Avoiding the Peril of a Poor Finish. The book of 2 Timothy really has two men in it. It's about two men. It's about Paul at the end of his life, because 2 Timothy is the last book that Paul would write. And it's about Timothy in the prime of his life, because he's at the beginning of his life and the beginning of his ministry. Paul is at the end of his ministry. Timothy is barely getting started. Paul is about to die. He writes from a Roman prison, and he's awaiting his execution. In fact, tradition tells us it wasn't soon after that the Apostle Paul was beheaded. And so 2 Timothy is this last epistle that the Apostle Paul would write. It's the last recorded words we have of the Apostle Paul. And it's an intensely personal letter. A lot of Paul's epistles are written to churches. They're written to groups of people. This is written to a man. It's written to a young man by the name of Timothy, who Paul mentored. Who Paul considered his son in the faith. And as Paul writes to Timothy, he writes in order to encourage Timothy to follow Paul's example and to live his Christian life in such a way that he too, like the Apostle Paul, would finish well. Also throughout the book, he gives some instructions for Timothy as a pastor, because Timothy is pastoring the church at Ephesus, and Paul is helping Timothy as he's a young pastor to have some instruction and give him some counsel in how to pastor his church. And so the theme verse for our study, and the one which I really think defines the whole letter, is 2 Timothy 4:7, and you have it before you, and it says this. The Apostle Paul, speaking about himself, says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You see what's going on there? Something started a long time ago in Paul's life. He began a journey with Christ, and he stayed on that path, and he's now at the end of his life, and he makes those three statements. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. And so I wonder if you wouldn't like to be able to say the same thing at the end of your life. I would. I'd like to be able to come to the end of my life and say, I finished the race, I fought the good fight, I've kept the faith. And so the alternative would be to have something like this. I fought a lousy fight. I gave up in the middle. And I abandoned the faith, right? We don't want to have to say something like that, or to have someone say something like that about us. So which ending do you prefer? I hope it's the 2 Timothy 4:7 ending, because the alternative means that you might come to the end of your life and say something like this. Boy, I really messed up. I'm ashamed of my life and the way that I've lived. I've wasted my life by pursuing only temporal things instead of spiritual things. I've left a bad example for my children and the generation of Christians coming behind me. I had every intention of living a dedicated Christian life, but somewhere along the way, I got off the path and I never recovered. I've grown cold in my love for Christ, and I regret the way that I've lived my Christian life and my lack of devotion and zeal for the things of the Lord. And if at that point, if you even care anymore, which you may or may not when you come to the end of your life will be full of woulda, couldas, and shouldas, and you'll look back on your life with great regret. But it doesn't have to be that way if you'll give present attention to the future goal of finishing well. And as we work through the book of 2 Timothy, we're going to discover the principles that will help you finish well. And to get started today, I want to share with you three main principles. We're going to kind of take an overview of the book, and I want to share with you three main principles found throughout the book as a whole that will help you on your spiritual journey. Okay, the first one is this. In order to finish well, you must know that you can finish well. You must know that you can finish well. Sometimes we get discouraged along the way, don't we? Have you ever been discouraged in your Christian life? And we doubt whether or not we really can finish well. We may stumble and fall. We may mess up. We make resolutions we don't keep. And we get tempted along the way sometimes as Christians to throw in the towel and give up. Maybe not give up on Jesus, maybe not walk away from the faith, but just to stop trying. You know, I try to live the Christian life and I can't. And I've tried to do these things and I can't. I try to walk with the Lord and I can't, so I just give up. But we need to know that we can finish well. We don't have to give in to failure and defeat. And what we learn from 2 Timothy is that finishing well is possible because there are those who have gone before us and finished well. And if they can do it, so can we. And that's basically what Paul is telling Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:7 when he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. He's saying, Timothy, I did it. I did it. You can do it too. That's not just a statement about Paul's life. That's not just Paul saying, hey, look what I did. He's saying, this is what I did. I've come to the end of my life and I have finished well. And Timothy, you can finish well also. In fact, you know, there's a whole chapter written in the Bible for this very purpose, to encourage us to finish well. In this chapter, the author parades before us this litany of people whose faith was strong and who finished well, so that knowing their lives and their testimonies, we too would have a strong faith and we too could finish well. And you might be familiar with that book in that chapter. It's Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the author lists example after example of those who finished well. And he talks about Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Joshua and David. And he gets to the point where he says, and many more. And they're too numerous to name them all. And then after listing all those who finished well, who were examples of continuing in the faith, he writes these words in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You see that? In enduring. They endured, and we are to endure. We are to run the race that is set before us with endurance. Therefore, in light of all these people that have just been listed, all these people in Hebrews chapter 11, all these people who had faith and trusted God and continued in the faith, in light of all that, therefore, you run the race with endurance that is set before you. If they can do it, so can you. Were they perfect? No. These weren't super saints. Did they fail at times? Absolutely. And so we need to understand, as we look at these people, the Apostle Paul, for example, was a man with weaknesses and frailties just like us. Remember in Romans chapter 7 when he's writing and he says, I find myself doing the things I don't want to do, and then I know what I'm not supposed to do, and I do those things, and I know what I am supposed to do, and I don't do those things, and there's this struggle that goes on in his heart, and he wants to serve God, and yet there's weakness, and he finds himself serving the flesh. In Philippians 3, he tells us he's not perfect, but he keeps pressing on toward greater maturity in Christ-likeness. This is how he says it in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I haven't made it yet. I'm not perfect. I'm not there. I haven't arrived. But what do? I press on. I keep going because I want to get to the end of my life and say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Was Abraham perfect? No. Abraham's listed in Hebrews chapter 11. He lied about Sarah being his wife twice. He didn't get the message the first time that wasn't a good thing to do and got him in a lot of trouble. Twice he did that. He committed adultery with Hagar because he didn't believe God could give him a son with Sarah. And yet he's in that list of men and women of faith. And so Moses, we come to Moses. Was he perfect? No. We just spent some time studying Moses' life. At the beginning of his life, and when he was a young man, early on, around 40, he kills an Egyptian slave. And he has to run out into the desert and hide for 40 years because Pharaoh wants him dead. He grew tired and impatient with the Israelites. When God told him how to get water from the rock, instead of listening to God, he hits the rock. He's so angry. David, King David, was he perfect? No. Man, he wasn't perfect. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He's walking around on his roof one day and he sees her and decides she's a beautiful woman and he wants her. And he has his servants bring her to him and he commits adultery with her. And then to cover up his sin, he has Uriah murdered, her husband. What do all these men have in common? They had their moments of failure, like we have. They've had their moments of weakness, like we have. They haven't been perfect, like we haven't been perfect. But they got up, they got on their feet again, they sought forgiveness from the Lord, they repented of their sin, and they kept trusting the Lord and kept walking with Him and trusting Him and His grace to take the next step. Like them, you may have failed. I don't know what your failure was. It might have been a failure like Abraham's, and you just can't tell the truth. And when you get in trouble, you have to come up with some story to help yourself out of a jam. Or it might be sexual sin like David's. Or it might have been something far worse, like his sin of murdering Uriah. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, like them, you have failed. But that doesn't mean that you can't finish well. Because if God, by His grace, has given you another day, and He has because you're here, and you're breathing, and you're awake, well, most of you. And if God, by His grace, has given you another day, then He's giving you the opportunity to finish well. He's giving you the opportunity to correct your course and to finish well. In order to finish well, we need to learn from yesterday's failures and determine that today will be different. Okay, so you messed up yesterday. Guess what you can do about that? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Zero. You can't fix it. You can't make it better. You can't undo it. You can't go back and relive it. There is no time machine. It's part of who you are now. It's part of your past. It's part of your experience. It's part of your life. But you can learn from it. And you can say, okay, that wasn't such a good thing to do. From now on, I'm going to avoid that. I'm going to live this way. I'm going to make these choices. So don't say you can't. Don't say you're too weak. Don't say you've tried and failed. Don't say, I never will. Don't say it's not possible. Because if those people in Hebrews 11 can do it, if the Apostle Paul can do it, you can do it. You can finish well. Because those aren't super saints. Those are all people who had their weaknesses. Those are all people who weren't perfect. Those are all people whom the Scripture records clearly for us, not only their successes, but their failures. So we would understand they're just like us. We're no different than they are. We're just human beings like they were human beings. And so if they can do it, so can you. And like the Apostle Paul, we need to forget what's behind and press on to what lies ahead. So whatever your past might be and whatever your life might look like today, you need to stop thinking and talking defeat. Well, I can't. I've already done this, so I've blown it, and I'll never be amount to anything, and I'll never be any good, and my whole life is ruined now. And don't think like that. Begin thinking and talking like a child of God who has been transformed by the grace of God and has the Holy Spirit living inside of you in order to give you the power and the strength and the grace to live for Jesus. Be like the Apostle Paul who said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the first thing you need to know if you're going to finish well, is that you can finish well. And you may have come this morning and you may think, well, no, I've already messed up so bad, I can never finish well. You can. You can finish well. Number two, you must know the danger of not finishing well. You must know that that danger exists. There is a danger that we may not finish well. And we all know of things that had great starts, but lousy finishes, right? The Titanic. That was the unsinkable ship. It could never sink. And on its maiden voyage, it hit an iceberg and sunk. I don't know how many of you remember the Space Shuttle Challenger. That thing was built and designed and had 9 successful missions. It was launched for a 10th mission because of a failed O-ring in one of its rocket boosters. It exploded 73 seconds into the launch and killed all 7 members on board. You see, getting started is important. You've got to start, right? Because if you don't start, you'll never get there. But how you finish is important. You need to just not just start, you need to finish. You know, the Titanic started on one side of the ocean and never made it to the other. And the space shuttle got started but never came back. And beginning the race is important, but how you run and ultimately how you finish is what really counts. And it's important that we keep before us the danger of crashing and burning in our spiritual lives, to know that unless we're diligent in our devotion to God, that unless we pay careful attention to our spiritual progress, our spiritual lives can end up in disaster and ruin. And that's not to discourage you. That's not to make you say, oh, throw out my hands and quit. That's just to say we need to be aware. That's to say we need to be diligent. That's to say we need to know that if we don't pay careful attention to our lives, that can happen to us. And it's those who think they can't fall. It's those who think they never will, or that they're too dedicated or too spiritual or too strong, who are in the most danger of not finishing well. And that's why the Bible says in Proverbs 16:18 that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So take heed lest you fall. See, that's the point. And in 2 Timothy, Paul gives several opportunities to remind Timothy of the danger of not finishing well. And boy, they're obvious, and they just sort of come out and smack you right in the face, and they're there, and they're bold, and they're clear, and here they are. The first one is in 2 Timothy 1:15. He says to Timothy, you are aware, you know, Timothy, you're aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Timothy, you know there are those who turned away. Here are two examples. I'll name them. How'd you like to have your name in the Bible? and you're being held up as a bad example. Somebody who didn't finish well. Somebody who didn't make it. Paul has been telling Timothy not to be ashamed of the gospel in this letter, and of Paul himself, who has been imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. He's been exhorting Timothy not to let fear turn him away from following Christ. And now he gives him two examples of deserters, two examples of those who turn back, men who apparently had a good start but a lousy finish. And he says, Timothy, you know about these men. You know about these men. And he holds them up as examples of those who didn't finish well. Then in 2 Timothy 2:17 and 18, he says, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. He doesn't get too far into the epistle, and he's holding up more people that didn't finish well. Hymenaeus and Philetus, and he says they've gone astray from the truth. And they've begun to believe strange doctrines. And they're teaching that the resurrection has already taken place. And not only are they have they themselves gone astray, but by going astray, now they're leading other people astray and they're upsetting whole families. Timothy, these are examples of men who didn't finish well. Pay attention. We get to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. And he talks about Demas. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Timothy, there's another one. Another one's come to my mind. Another one I want to remind you of. Demas, he's deserted me because he loved this present world. He was more in love with this world and the things of this world than he was with Jesus. And he turned back. And the implication is he became worldly. And the implication is that he stopped following the Lord or grew very cold in his love for the Lord. And all these things of the world that he was so enamored with drew his focus and drew his attention. And Paul says, Timothy, don't forget about Demas. You need to know the danger of not finishing well. And then if we jump back to Paul's first letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1, 19 through 20, he warned Timothy there with these somber words. He says, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. See how he keeps going back and telling Timothy, here's what could happen to you. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan so that they will be taught not to blaspheme. Wow. Timothy, you need to know that it's possible to make shipwreck of your faith. And these guys have blasphemed. And I've placed them under the severest of discipline. And in all of these examples, Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, guard what you have. Be careful as you walk. Know that if you aren't diligent in your spiritual life, you can end up like these men. Most people have heard of Billy Graham. But what about Chuck Templeton or Bron Clifford? How many have heard of those? Did you know that they were also preaching in auditoriums in 1945 when Billy Graham first preached to his crowd? I want to read to you a section from a book by Steve Farrar that talks about these three men. I want you to hear what we're saying about the importance of staying close to the Lord and the danger of not finishing well. He writes, all three of these young men rose to prominence in their middle 20s. One seminary president, after hearing Chuck Templeton, a brilliant, dynamic preacher, called him the most gifted, talented young preacher in America. Templeton and Graham became very close friends. They then started preaching together with the Youth for Christ organization. Most observers thought that Templeton would be the one to go to the top. One magazine wrote a feature article calling Templeton the Babe Ruth of evangelism. Bron Clifford was another gifted young fireball evangelist. Many believed that Clifford was the most gifted, powerful preacher to come up in the church for centuries. People lined up for hours to hear him preach. When he went to Baylor University to give a message, they actually cut the ropes of the bells of the tower. They wanted nothing to interfere with his preaching. For 2.5 hours, the students of Baylor sat on the edges of their seat as he gave a message on Christ and the Philosopher's Stone. At the age of 25, Clifford touched more lives, influenced more leaders, and set more attendance records than any other clergyman in American history. National leaders vied for his attention. He was tall, handsome, dashing, intelligent, and sophisticated. Hollywood actually tried to cast him in the role for the famous movie The Robe. He seemed to have everything. Graham, Templeton, and Clifford launched out on the starting block like Olympic gold medalists in 1945. Why haven't you heard of Chuck Templeton and Bron Clifford? The answer may surprise you. By 1950, Templeton had left the ministry. He pursued a radio career. He became an announcer and a newscaster, telling the world he no longer believed Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He became an atheist. By 1950, this future Babe Ruth of preaching was not even in the ballgame. By 1954, Clifford had lost his family, ministry, and health. Eventually, he lost his life because of his addiction to alcohol. financially irresponsible. He left his wife and their two Down syndrome children penniless. This once famous preacher died of cirrhosis of the liver at the age of 35 in a rundown hotel on the edge of Amarillo. He died unwept, unhonored, unsung. Some of the pastors from Amarillo, Texas got together and collected enough money to buy a cheap casket. They shipped his body back to the East Coast, where he was buried in a pauper cemetery. In 1945, all three of these young men with extraordinary gifts were preaching for the purpose of multiplying the church by thousands of people. But within 10 years, only one of them was still on track for Christ. Is that sobering? Man. It can happen to any of us. It can happen to any of us. What kinds of things can derail a person and keep them from finishing well? Paul mentions a number throughout his letter. Let me give you a few. First one is allowing sin in our lives. 2 Timothy 2:19, but God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Why? Because when we allow iniquity in our lives, when we allow sin in our lives, when we follow after sin, when we make concessions with sin and compromises with sin, it begins to erode our spiritual foundation and begins to, it eventually will become our downfall. Sin is subtle and insidious and like termites eating away at the house without anyone realizing the damage is being done. Until one day it's too late. Your life has collapsed in a pile of spiritual rubbish, and you find yourself among those like Hymenaeus who have made shipwreck of their faith. If you want to finish well, the Apostle Paul has very pointed words for us. Depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity. Also, another thing that will keep us from finishing well is departing from sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 2:18, Paul says, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place and they have upset the faith of some. Departing from sound doctrine can undermine your spiritual foundation and cause you not to finish well. Sometimes Christians think doctrine is boring or it's unnecessary, it's unimportant. Oh, theology, that's for the pastors. Those are for seminary professors and seminary students and theologians. But that's not for me. You know, just give me Jesus. Well, you need to know, theology tells you who Jesus is. Theology tells you how to worship Jesus. Theology tells you what Jesus did and how we relate to Jesus. We need doctrine. And Paul says we need to not depart from the truth. It's vital to finishing well. Bad theology can shipwreck your faith. Do you know that one of the responsibilities of a pastor is to guard the theological integrity of the church? And we do that in order to provide a solid doctrinal foundation for the church as well as for ourselves, because we want to finish well without being led astray into false doctrines. And it can happen. I'm not going to tell you about this today, but somewhere along in our series, I got a story to tell you about someone who came to see me a few weeks ago and tried to teach me false doctrine. And you'll hear about that. Just keep that in the back of your mind. Look forward to it. Don't skip church, because you never know when it's coming. It might be next week. It might be the week after. The story about the false teacher is imminent. You don't know when it's coming. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, but it's coming. Be ready. Keep your oils, lamps full of oil. Okay. There isn't a Christian among us, including myself, exempt from the possibility of going astray, of ending up like these men, of ending up like the men in the scriptures or the men we just read about. And there are all kinds of false doctrines going around in our world. There's one popular author in Christian bookstores, and he's loved by many, and he no longer believes in a literal hell. And he will tell you that there is no eternal hell, and the Bible is really wrong on that, or we just understand the Bible wrong. There's an author of a very popular men's book who suggests that God takes risks and is therefore neither omniscient nor omnipotent. Because in order to take a risk, you don't know the future, see? Because it's not a risk if you know how it's going to turn out. But God takes risks. No, He doesn't. Others in the church would teach that it's not important to believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God. Well, you know, they're all kinds of strange concepts around that. Some people would tell us, well, the Word of God is in there somewhere, and we have to find it, but it's not all God's Word. Some would tell, well, it's full of errors, and we don't know really what is true and what is not, and so we have to take it all with a grain of salt. There's another thing that could lead us astray, and that's worldliness. Worldliness. 2 Timothy 4:10, we already saw that. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica, making the things of this world, whether good or bad, doesn't matter if they're bad things, like the worst sin you can think of, or good things like fishing, right? If we're more in love with the things of the world, if we're more in love with anything than we are with Jesus, with God, your relationship with Christ will diminish, and you'll not finish well. Demas loved the things of the world more than he loved the things of God. Well, how do you know if you're doing the same? Well, I guess there are a number of ways we can tell. I mean, here are a couple of simple ways. Do the things of the world keep you from attending church regularly? I mean, do you have to decide during the week, honey, are we going to church next week, or are we going to go whatever, you fill in the blank. Do the things of the world keep you from prayer, keep you from reading your Bible, keep you from serving God? Well, what do you love more? Do you love God, or do you love this world more? Number three, if we're going to finish well, we must take appropriate action in order to finish well. If we're going to finish well, we must take appropriate action in order to finish well. You can't finish well unless you start, right? You got to start. You got to start on the journey if you're going to finish the journey. But you got to start with the goal in mind and pay attention to the details that will get you there. And that's why Paul gives Timothy exhortations like this throughout 2 Timothy 1:13. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Retain. 2 Timothy 1:14, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Guard. 2 Timothy 2:1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong. 2 Timothy 3:13 and 14, but evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things which you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Continue. 2 Timothy 4:5, but you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Be sober. Notice the action words: retain, guard, be strong, continue, be sober. And as we work through our study of 2 Timothy, we're going to look at these as well as other things that we need to do in order to finish well. It's a good letter. It's a short letter. It's a letter that's written by Paul with a pastor's heart, to a young man by the name of Timothy, who is a young pastor. It's deeply personal, very intimate, very strong, very powerful. The last words of Paul to this young man. The statistics are many. Christian history is littered with those who have started out well, but in the end have made shipwreck of their faith. And you know someone like that, because you thought about them earlier in our time together. And so what about you? What about me? Are we on a solid path to finish well? Or are we in a subtle drift away from the faith? Are we allowing things in our lives that are eating away at our spiritual foundations? Are we making compromises and concessions that will ultimately bring us to spiritual ruin? Are we destined to end our Christian lives in mediocrity and regret because we are not being intentional about finishing well? Don't say it can't happen to you. Don't say, oh, Pastor, you don't have to worry about me. We all have to worry about ourselves. We all have to worry about one another. We're to look after our brother. And so don't say it can't happen to you. It can. Easier and faster than you think possible. Over the course of my ministry, I've watched people go from highly dedicated to the Lord and their lives begin to unravel and they walk away in very little time. Mind-boggling time. So make the commitment today that you will live each day of your life with the goal of finishing well clearly in mind. Avoid the things that will hinder your progress. Embrace the things that will make you successful, so that when you reach the end of your journey, when you come to the end of your life, you can say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Let's stand together as we pray. Father, it's clear that not all who begin well finish well. And we surely don't want to be one of those statistics. And so you have given us words like those contained in 2 Timothy. You've given us the example of Paul who says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. You've given us his words to Timothy, which remind us how to finish well and what we need to do to finish well. And Father, we would ask this morning that you would indeed, as we have sung earlier in that last song that we sang, that you would take and seal us. And Lord, that these wandering hearts of ours, prone to wander, that we would stay on course, that we'd keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That we would forget what lies behind and press on to what is ahead. That we would know that we can finish well because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so, Father, by your grace, would you help us today, the days to come, and all the days of our lives to be those who finish well. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.